Good morning, everybody. My name is Mike Keckner. I'm an abstaining, maintaining, compulsive overeater from Denver, Colorado. I'll give you the Reader's Digest super condensed version of this. So, I have been in Overeaters Anonymous for 15,530 days, which means that I have been in OA for 42 years, 6 months, and 7 days. By God's grace, I've been abstaining for 14,314 days, which means that I've been abstaining for 39 years, 2 months, and 8 days, but who's counting? Now, out of that, and of course being the little geekazoid accountant that I am, I went back and I figured that I have been in OA 65.3% of my life, and by God's grace, I have been abstinent 60.2% of my life. So, yes, I came in when I was at the age of 22, so that's one of the things. I also have pictures that sometimes I think it's important. Here's the photos. By God's grace, I've been maintaining between a 60 and a 70-pound weight loss for 39 years or so. And the really nice part about it is I'm able to walk into my closet and pick out the same shirt that I picked out 2 weeks ago, and it still fits. I have suits that still fit after 10 years. What I'll do is I'll tell you what I think. I think what this is, this is what 42 years of being in OA and 39 years of abstinence looks like. You know, that's the best thing. Since the topic is acceptance on steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, I wish to read to you from page 417 of the Big Book about acceptance. And this is the story, acceptance was the answer. And we used to know it as Dr. Alcoholic Addict. And it says, "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, or thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at the moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my compulsive eating, I could not stay abstinent. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes." Isn't that just sucky? And I wrote in the sideline here, if I am not accepting, where am I in resistance? And the other part of it I heard at a meeting this past year, acceptance does not mean approval. That's a bite in the butt. So one of the, many of you know that OA just recently came out with the second edition of the OA 12 and 12, which I think is really wonderful. I cut my teeth on the AA Big Book, the AA 12 and 12, and then when I became a member of OA and OA came out with their 12 steps and 12 traditions, I embraced this book as well. And my feeling is, this is fine, this is good, together are a wonderful combo that can't be beat. So, one of the nice things about this is they now have a spiritual principle for each of the steps in each of the traditions, which is just absolutely marvelous. So I'm going to talk about the fourth step really quickly here, and not so much of the acceptance. One of the things you all have to realize is I do not sponsor. And I know there's a collective gasp. I heard it go, "You don't sponsor." No, I don't sponsor people because I go by what the big book says. And if you would read the big book, I think it's chapter 7, it says working with others. It does not say bossing others. It does not say telling others what to do. It does not say this is how you will run your life. It says working with others. So I don't sponsor people. I work with others. Bottom line. That's how I look at it. So one of the things about working with others is when I work with people in the steps, we do the steps. We work with each other. What I'm going to talk about is how I work with others in working the steps and accepting all of this stuff. The thing of it is, when I work with others doing the four-step inventory, they do the inventory, I do the inventory, and we share our inventory with each other. One of the things that's important is the fourth step, the principle of the fourth step, as we all know, is courage. The fourth step is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human. No, that's the fifth step. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, how many of you in here came thinking that you just came here to lose weight and you wouldn't have to do anything else? I want to see the raised hands. Some folks are not being too honest, but that's okay. Your four-step inventory will help you with that. The thing about the four-step inventory is, and the spiritual message is courage. Now, our new workbook has every single question that's in this book, in that book. And you can do it that way. You can do it the big book way. You can do an inventory. I don't care how you do the inventory. Just shut up and do the inventory. Because I guarantee you, from my own experience, people do not get well if they don't do the inventory and are honest. Acceptance and accepting all of this stuff. How many of you just, when you, for those of you who've done the inventory, when you do the inventory, you looked at all of those character defects. How many just looked at those character defects and went, wow, what character defects? One of the things that drives me insane in this program and many 12-step programs, we always hammer ourselves to death with the defects. An inventory is assets and liabilities. So very seldom do I ever hear about the assets. I did an inventory not long ago, and the inventory only let me do 12 defects of character and made me list 24 assets. Boy, was that a challenge. But it worked. Because I needed to look at that. And one of the most difficult things for me to accept are assets. I lovingly embrace my defects of character. They're my bosom buddy. But what is it like to accept the asset in my life? How difficult it is to accept that asset. A couple of things. For assets, for defects of character, and I don't think they're really defects of character, pride, anger, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, and sloth, paggles, you know, they're really not wrong, it's just I take them to extremes. So in OA, I have learned to accept pride, anger, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, and sloth as part of my life, but I've also learned to accept the opposite of pride is humility, the opposite of anger is serenity, the opposite of greed is generosity. The opposite of gluttony is abstinence. The opposite of lust is love. The opposite of envy is compassion. And I'm going to read you the definition of sloth. It's the very first definition in the dictionary. Sloth, 1A. A disinclination to action or labor. Indolence. B, spiritual apathy or inactivity. Oh, that I'm glad somebody went, because I always love to hear that, because that's the one that kicks people in the butt. It's that spiritual apathy or inactivity. And the opposite of sloth is activity on the physical, emotional, and spiritual levels. Being active in my own life. And that's marvelous. I get to do this stuff. How many of you in here love a bargain? I mean, really love a good bargain? Wanda, raise your hand. Don't lie to me, woman. I know you better than that. We all love a good bargain. And I'm going to tell you a wonderful bargain. When we do a fourth step inventory, we're actually doing two-thirds of the fifth step. We're admitting to God and to ourselves. That third part to another human being will come when we're finished. But you're really doing one and two-thirds steps when you're doing an inventory. Look at it that way. You almost have it done. Now, when I work with folks, you know, one of the reasons I think folks have so much trouble with the inventory is because they continue to hang on to all of this stuff. And when I work with folks, I do the dump and run method. And this is how the dump and run method works for me. Okay, we're doing this inventory, and it doesn't matter how you do the inventory. When I work with folks, I go to their home. That way they can't escape. And the thing of it is, I'll say, okay, next week we'll have this much work done. And so what we do is, rather than the whole inventory all at once, we take it in bits and pieces. We do this bit of the inventory, and we dump it, and then we run to the next bit. And we do that, and we do that, and we do that until it's done. It takes the same amount of time, but the thing of it is, they share with me, and I give them my inventory as well. I share me, because they need to find out what kind of character I actually am. Many of you already know I'm a character, but they really get to find out what kind of character I am. So that's, for me, very important. That fifth step is integrity. The spiritual principle is integrity, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. But also the exact nature of our assets. We're always beating ourselves up. I find in this program, I need to let you know what my good points are. And that's so tough for me to admit and accept that. Accepting integrity is one of the most important things I think that we learn in this program. We learn to face people. We learn to look people in the eye and say, this is what I did. But you know what? I don't do that anymore. I do try to treat people with kindness, courtesy, and respect. Well, those who know me well, that maybe is stretching the truth. Okay, there's a thing called honesty in the program. Do you want relief or do you want recovery? You can find relief all over the place, but recovery demands courage and integrity. Step six. Step six and seven. One of the things about steps six and seven that there's a consistent theme in steps six and seven that I think we sometimes, as a fellowship and as individuals, overlook a bit. The word remove is used in each of those steps. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. In step seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. My question to you is, how many of you think that the word removes is take them all away and we'll never have them again? Yeah. See, I thought it was for a long time until I looked in the dictionary. I believe in looking in the dictionary because I think I know what it means until I look in and I don't know what it means. Here's what remove means. And all of this work, all of the by definitions, come from Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary, copyright 1984. I want to say where all this stuff is from. Remove. 2A. A distance or interval separating one person or thing from another. 2B. A degree or stage of separation. You see, when I actually really to have this defect of character or this shortcoming removed, it actually means for me that there is a degree or stage of separation from how I used to be. It doesn't mean that I'm here and now I'm here. That degree of separation might just be this far, but it's still a degree of separation. And that degree of separation for me continues to get wider as the longer I work the step. Steps 6 and 7 are two of my favorite steps because I truly believe we do not recover until we work steps 6 and 7. And living steps 6 and 7 on a daily basis, my dear friends, prevents me from having to do a lot of works in steps 4 and 5, and I don't have much to do in steps 8 and 9 then, if I live that steps 6 and 7 on a daily basis and live them on a daily basis. I really see that for me. The thing of it is with steps 6 and 7, do I really accept those character assets and defects, or do I just go, oh, that's just the way I am? And the answer is, I don't want to be that way anymore. It's a lot of work to give that stuff away. I don't know about most of you, but it's just kind of like, oh, for God's sake, am I working on this again? And the answer is, yeah. And why? Because I'm human. And why? Because I have learned a lot. But every time I look and see where I think that failing is, I fail to realize the success that I've had and the distance I have put myself from the other stuff. You know, it makes sense to me. Accepting that I think one of the most... There are two things that I believe in this program that are the most difficult for compulsive overeaters to deal with. I only have one major character defect. Honest to God. It's called fear. Fear is my major character defect, and pride, anger, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, and sloth are my subsets of that fear. And it goes like this. Under fear, my pride is wounded because I didn't get that job, or, you know, all this other stuff. That's how I look at it. The other part of it is, for me, is doing this work really requires me to go inside and ask the God of my understanding to give me the grace and willingness to do, accept how I am. And that's really tough sometimes. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Well, I looked up the word humble because I needed to find out what humility meant. And humble means not proud or haughty. I love that word, haughty. Not arrogant or assertive. 2, reflecting, expressing, or offered in the spirit of deference or submission. 2, to destroy the power, independence, or prestige of. I'm just so grateful that it's not like it used to be. I get to accept. Do you really want to know how you learn humility in this program? Give service. You really want to know what it's like to learn humility in this program? Work on a convention and plan food for compulsive overeaters. Boy, howdy. And I'm going to tell a story about that. One year when I was at a service at a higher level, I helped plan this, and we tried something different with the food plan. Oh, Holy Mother of God, never do that. Anyway, it was awful. my butt was chewed so badly. And I literally called my sponsor in tears. And these are from people who I thought had years of recovery, but they were so wound up with the food. And my humility was, well, I was humiliated in some aspects. But anyway, I called my sponsor and I was in tears. I was crying and I said, "Oh my God, I've lost 10 pounds since I've been at this conference." And my sponsor said, "You don't have 10 pounds to lose." I said, "I know, but my ass has been chewed so much, there's 10 pounds that are gone." I think in learning steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, the acceptance of trying to find out what I need to change, and am I willing to change? Am I willing to say no more? Am I willing, and am I going to accept the fact that life won't go my way? I grew up as a disco baby, and there's a wonderful disco song that it is really perfect for this. Donna Summers and Barbara Streisand sang that wonderful disco song, "Enough is Enough." And have you had enough? Are you tired of what you've been doing? Do you want to get well? I don't know, but I just know that for me, life isn't like it used to be. Humility willingness and the two spiritual principles for step 6 is willingness, and step 7 is humility. Each day I must ask myself, am I willing to accept courage, integrity, willingness, and humility to be a part of my life? Most generally I'll say, all right. But I want you to know that if I don't have that, I know that I will die. And I know that death does not start just one day you wake up and clunk, you're dead. The death for me starts this way. When I start to die spiritually, then I start to die. That's the first to go, because the spiritual aspect is the most difficult for me to attain. Then I start to die emotionally, and then I'll die physically, whether by my own hand or by the food or whatever. But I choose and accept the fact that I have a lot. There's work that I continue to do on a daily basis. And you too can recover and accept those things that just... Accepting myself is one of the most difficult tasks that I do on a daily basis. I don't know about you. You guys might be good at this, but I'm not. And all I ask is that when we accept the facts of working steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, we embrace our assets, accept our defects, and live in the humility and willingness God gives us each day. Thank you. Which means that we have about 20 minutes for you to get up here and share your strength, hope, and experience. Because if you don't get up here, I will call you by name. Oh, yeah, I'll take a question. Yeah, sure. And I'll repeat the question so folks can hear what the question is.
Talking about 6 and 7, you were saying that you do them often, and or just to give an example.
Oh, how I do steps 6 and 7 daily? Okay. The question was, how do I work steps 6 and 7 daily? Very simple. Every morning before I get up and go pee, I get on my knees and I say this prayer out loud. Dear God, please help me with the food. Please help me with my abstinence. Please help me not eat compulsively today. Please help me with my attitude. Please help me to be of service to others today. That's my steps 6 and 7. I mean, that's, now, do I do that really well? No. I'm still a work in progress. So, but I love that wonderful accounting term, WIP, work in progress. So, who else wants to come up and share their strength, hope, and experience on accepting steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, Wanda? No. And speak close to the mic, you know, kind of kiss the mic.
Kiss the mic, yes.
And hold this. So that, okay. Yeah, because you're being, yeah, so.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. I am Wanda, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Mike. I live in Abilene, Texas, and I really wanted to get up here and tell a little bit more about my experience with our speaker, because we've been around for a long time, and the reason probably that I'm here today is because he has pushed me with, not with the steps, but with a foot in my backside to move forward in my life, in my steps and in my service. But we're supposed to talk about acceptance. And I guess that's one thing that I started trying to do is accept, but there are still things that I don't accept, and I have to, I guess, work the steps. I was going to ask a real question about that, because you know, one of the hardest things that I have had to accept, that the steps may or may not be the way to really get through it, but it's an acceptance of all that food that I ate the first 40 years of my life caused my body to look like and feel like. I just remember when I was coming into OA how old I felt. I felt like an old woman. I feel younger today, and this is 34 years later. I feel younger today than I did back then. But I don't know really how that happened. So I guess through the steps and through not just working the steps, but accepting the steps as being necessary. And when I think about that, it's like when I first read them, I accepted that I could do 1, 2, and 3, but I didn't accept I could do the rest of them. I had to be pushed a little bit to do the rest of them, and I had to be pushed a little bit to do service and to stay in. And I do want to say one thing about staying in program. Don't leave. Don't leave. I don't care if you get your miracle early on, you still can't leave. But I was thinking that I should leave about 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I don't know. But Michael was our trustee at the time, and people around me were leaving. I mean, people that I trusted were leaving OA. And I thought maybe that I would do the same. And so, because Michael was our trustee, I thought he should know, he should know what to do about this. So I called him up and I told him my predicament. And I said, "Will you help me?" And here's how he works with people without sponsoring. Because what he said to me, I still remember to this day. He said, "Wanda, you know I will help you." And that was all I needed to stay in a little bit longer, because I knew that somebody would help me want to stay in and want to work the program. And for me, that is, I guess you could tie that in with acceptance or whatever. But little did I know how he would work with me. And it was basically saying, "You need to get out there and do some service. You need to do this. You need to get in your inner group. You need to come to World Service." So what we did, we put on some workshops in Abilene, and he came and he spoke. And you know, actually, I know it took all of it for me. It took every bit of it. It took working the steps. It took service. And it also took just reaching out when I was at my lowest. Just reaching out, get that telephone and reach out to somebody that we believe can help us. And so that's what I did. And here I am today. I mean, here I am just doing service. I didn't come to be a representative this time or do anything except just enjoy being here, doing service and listening and to people that I know and people that I don't know. So thank you for having me. And oh my gosh, he wants me to tell you how he threatened me, and I will. My friends in Abilene know this. But about that, probably in that same conversation where he told me he would help me, he said, "Wanda, if I ever hear that you have quit coming to OA, I'm going to catch a plane to Abilene, and I'm going to take your butt to a meeting." And that was the threat. And I tell him that's why I'm still here, because I believe he might do that. So I'm still here so you won't do that.
Who else?
Yes.
So, second to Joe.
I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lainey.
So I have a bunch of other compulsives. One is I'm a compulsive overachiever. And so my first four step, I think, was 45 pages typed, not double-spaced. and there were no assets there. I did my four step with my sponsor, who was, I don't remember where she lived, on the East Coast somewhere. So, and I had kids at home at the time, so on a rather chilly November day, my car and I parked in somebody's parking lot with a sleeping bag and a blanket, and because it was cold, and we read this 45-page treatise. And, you know, she did some uh-huhs and, oh, is that all? And uh-huh, and yeah, me too, which was, like, amazing. And what surprised me was, well, I guess that was really my fifth step. I read my fourth step. But what surprised me was when I was finished, I came to this realization that all that stuff in that 45-page stuff document wasn't me. It was the result of my disease. And it wasn't my fault. And because I understood that, then I was able to take step 6 and 7 and realize that I wasn't going to have nothing left when God did something with my character defects. I'm a bit of a rebel, and I really don't like the word remove, although I like it better with your definition. To me, remove my defects of character makes me think of a potato where you've taken the potato peeler and stuck all the eyes out. And I didn't want to look like somebody had made confetti out of me. What I pray is that God will transform my character defects, because I believe my character defects are truly what kept me alive in my double alcoholic insane childhood family. And, you know, it's like, it's okay for a baby to have a soother, but at some point that soother has to go away. My eldest had one, and when she was getting to the point where it was too old, and at that point it only lived on her pillow, so she could only have it when she went to sleep, I told her, "Crystal, when that breaks, I'm not buying you another one. That's it." And I noticed it was kind of starting to get a little, so I took the nail scissors and I helped it along a little bit. And I said, "Crystal, that's not safe for you, Stefan. It needs to go in the garbage." And she looked at me with her 2-year-old eyes and went, "Fix it, Mommy." And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I can't fix it." And she says, "Okay, throw it away." And I'm thinking, oh no, I'm not carrying that guilt for the rest of my life. I handed it to her and said, "The trash can's over there, honey." And so she took her little scissor and she threw it away. But I, compulsive overeater, did not throw all my scissors away at the appropriate time. And so I carried them into adulthood, and they don't work so well in adulthood. So when I realized, in fact, they weren't really me, they weren't really part of me, they were the results of my disease, then I could be like my two-year-old daughter and go, I guess I don't really need these as much as I thought. And, you know, I took the trash out right away and put it in the dumpster so she couldn't go back and retrieve it. Nobody takes my character defects and puts them in the dumpster. They remove them somewhat. And so I have from time to time gone back and retrieved them, but I don't hold on to them quite as tightly. And eventually, I will take them to the dumpster myself. Thanks.
One of the other things that I think we compulsive overeaters do is have this this perfectionism that we want. We want to be perfect with the I want to be perfect with the food. I want to be perfect with the steps, and I want to be perfect with all this other stuff. And I'll never be perfect. In fact, in the cathedral where the church I attend, the cathedral, it's just this wonderful edifice. But they made this one word different than the others because nothing is perfect except for the God of my understanding. So, now, who else has something that they would like to share about? Here's one of the things that I said to folks years ago. If you really want to find out about acceptance of this program, here's how I work my program. I put the stupid-ass fork down. I get my butt to a meeting. I call, as much as I hate that word, I call my sponsor. I read the big book. I read the OA 12 and 12, and I give service. And if that doesn't work, I put the stupid-ass fork down. I call my sponsor. I read the big book. I read the OA 12 and 12. I give service. And if that doesn't work, you got the hint. Who else would like to share about acceptance of steps 4, 5, 6, or 7? We've got 7 minutes. We've got time for a couple of folks. Oh, come on down. I feel like I'm on The Price is Right.
I'm already short. My name is Allison, and I'm a food addict and bulimic, and I live in Oklahoma City.
Hi, Allison.
I have a message from Dawn for you.
She's still living.
Yep, mostly. Anyway, what I wanted to share will tie into that, but something that's really helped me stay abstinent and stay in recovery is realizing that there are only two choices for me. There's only two choices. And one choice is to be abstinent and do whatever I have to do to stay abstinent, which involves all the steps. And there's the thing about, you know, I have an obsession of the mind that says I can eat this now and it won't do the same thing. And I have an allergy of the body that when I pick it up, I'm doing the same thing. And I have to do the rest of the steps in order to remember that and not have to pick up the first bite. And the other choice is to pick up the first bite and do whatever happens and be miserable and upset. And the thing that's helped me is to realize that there is absolutely no third choice. There's no some place where I can do this food thing and be okay. There's no third place where I can sort of do it and be okay. And I have coasted some of the years I've been... I realized when I was sitting in there thinking, I started in OA in October of 1978, and I was bulimic, and I wallowed around in it for a couple of years and left, and then I quit being bulimic, and it'll be 37 years this Christmas since I've been abstinent from bulimia, and quickly realized I'm a plain old compulsive overeater now, and I went back to OA and really worked hard, and I also had... 11 years away in the 90s, but I've been back since 2001. So I have had lots of different experiences in the program and out of the program with food and weight and what works and what doesn't work. And so at my age, being fat is not such a big, horrible thing like it was when I was 20. I don't have that stick behind me beating me, telling me if I don't go forward, I'm going to be there. It's more of a carrot now. Like, I want to be, you know, better, and I want to enjoy life, and I want my older years to be healthier, all those kind of things. But the truth is, if I pick up food, it's horrible. It's not as horrible. I don't want to jump off a bridge like I did when I was 20, but it's like all these years and I'm still doing this. My current abstinence is 9 months. And so I've had some experience being on both sides of this. And the thing that keeps me abstinent right now, whenever there's any thought or food in my world or something, or not wanting to face a feeling or not wanting to be honest or do the 10th step or whatever, whenever there's some part of me that wants to float away, I realize that's not an option because I will be back and be miserable. The only option is to stay abstinent and work the steps to stay abstinent. There is no middle ground where I can sort of do it halfway and be okay, because I'm never okay. Within a day, I'm back over miserable. And that's the only thing I wanted to share.
So it's about time for us to close. First of all, I would like to thank Juliet for asking me to do this. I said, sure, just whatever. And the thing of it was, unfortunately, the person that was supposed to do this workshop was unable to be here. So I got this and I said, well, sure, I'll do it. And I truly am humbled and honored that you asked me to do this, because I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And what I would like to do is to close this session. If you have your big book, please open it to page 76. We're going to close with the seven-step prayer. So kind of, if you would like to circle up. I'm going to take this with me. So, after a moment of silence for the still suffering compulsive overeater inside and outside this room, let's say it's on that second paragraph.
No.
My Creator.
Okay.
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Thanks, folks.
Thank
you. Keep coming back. It works.